The trench was not a place. It was a living thing. Captain Elias Vera felt its breath on his neck as he walked the firing line, a wet, sulphurous exhalation that seeped from the mud underfoot and clung to the air like a curse. Above him, the sky hung low and swollen, the color of a bruise, its belly torn open by artillery years before and never allowed to heal. The sun, if it still existed, had long since surrendered to the ash. "Another day in paradise, sir," Sergeant Garin muttered as Elias approached. The sergeant leaned against a sandbagged parapet, his gaunt face half hidden beneath a slouch hat, crusted with dried blood. His trench knife, its blade notched from prying open heretic helmets, hung from his belt like a talisman. Elias didn't reply. He studied the sergeant's hands instead. They trembled faintly, a palsy that had begun weeks ago. The men said it was the choristers' doing, that their hymns wormed into the marrow, rattling bones until they shook apart. "Status?" Elias asked. 3 cases of trench foot in Sector 4. A latrine collapsed, and the new meat arrived. Garin spat a glob of phlegmy black mucus into the mud. 20 of them. One's already pissing himself. "Where?" "Shrine of the Martyrs. The chaplain's blessing them." Elias nodded. The shrine was a recess carved into the trench wall, lined with cracked statuettes of saints and cluttered with prayer candles made from bullet casings. It stank of melted wax and desperation. The recruits stood in a crooked line, their uniforms stiff and unsoiled, their faces pale as communion wafers. The chaplain, a skeletal figure in robes the color of dried blood, paced before them, a silver censer swinging in his claw-like hand. "You are the sword of righteousness," he rasped, smoke curling around his words. "You are the bulwark against the night." The youngest recruit, a boy with peach fuzz on his chin, wept openly. His tears cut pink tracks through the grime. Elias recognized the look in his eyes, the same hollow terror he'd seen in the mirror after his first battle. "Name?" Elias barked, startling the boy. "Per Petrus, sir. Lucas Petrus." "You'll die here, Petrus," Elias said flatly. The chaplain shot him a venomous glare, but Elias pressed on. "The question is whether you'll die useful. Can you shoot?" The boy nodded, trembling. "Can you kill?" Silence. "We'll see," Elias said. Nightfall brought a different kind of war. The artillery ceased, leaving the trenches to drown in a silence so thick Elias could hear the drip-drip of moisture seeping through the duckboards. He sat in his command dugout, a coffin-sized hollow lit by a guttering oil lamp, and stared at the casualty reports. 12 dead this week, 5 to snipers, 3 to a gas attack that had seeped through a cracked respirator, 4 to morale incidents, a polite term for suicides. A scream pierced the dark. Elias was on his feet before he realized he'd moved, his pistol in hand. He found the source in a supply alcove, Private Petrus, curled into a fetal position, clawing at his ears. Blood streamed down his neck, pooling in the hollow of his collarbone. "They're singing," the boy whimpered. "Make them stop. Make them stop." Sergeant Garin arrived, lantern in hand. The light revealed faint marks on the boy's skin, blister-like welts forming jagged patterns like letters in a language that hurt to look at. "Choristers' work," Garin growled. "The hymns etch themselves into the weak." Elias knelt, gripping Petrus's chin. "Look at me. Look at me. The enemy isn't here. This is your mind. Your fear. No. No, they're close. In the wire. In the earth." A gunshot echoed in the distance. They found the sentry at dawn. Corporal Harkin's body was tangled in the wire. The veteran's skull was split open, the back of his head vaporized by a high-caliber round. His rifle still lay in the sniper's nest, untouched, a single bullet chambered, proof he'd never seen the shot coming. The death commandos had dragged his corpse into no man's land as a trophy, leaving it propped against a rusted coil of barbed wire. A message, a taunt. "Bastards want us to see what's coming," Garen muttered, squinting through a periscope. "They'll leave him there to rot. Let the wretched pick his bones." Elias said nothing. He'd seen this before. The heretics fed on despair as much as flesh. A faint smell lingered, burnt hair and spoiled milk, hell powder residue. Heretic rounds were rumored to be forged from the molten teeth of damned souls. "Sir," a private waved from further down the trench, "you need to see this." Etched into the trench wall was a symbol, a circle split by a jagged line, its edges seared into the wood as if by a white-hot blade. Elias didn't recognize it, but its presence was a message. The enemy was close. That night, the choristers sang louder. Elias stood watch on the firing step, his rifle slung over his shoulder, his eyes scanning no man's land. The wasteland beyond the wire writhed with shadows. Shapes flitted between shell craters. Too large to be rats, too fluid to be human. A cold, keening wail swept across the trenches. The men called it the Night Hymn, a dirge sung by heretic choristers to herald their assaults. Elias felt it in his teeth, his bones, the meat of his heart. To his left, a soldier began reciting the Litany of Deliverance, his voice rising to a panicked shout. To his right, another man sobbed into his hands. A flare burst overhead, bathing the wasteland in corpse light. For a heartbeat, Elias saw them. Pale, shambling figures clad in tattered uniforms, their faces hidden beneath rusted gas masks. Trench ghosts. They moved in unison, their rifles slung, their heads lolling as if suspended by wires. One turned toward him, its mask cracked to reveal a lipless grin and eyes like smoldering coals. Then the light faded and they were gone. "Did you see that?" a recruit whispered. "See what?" Elias said. The boy said nothing. By week's end, five more men were dead. A sniper's bullet through the throat. A grenade misfire. A private found drowned in a foot of muddy water, his lungs filled with silt. The other two hanged themselves with rifle straps in a supply alcove. Elias signed the death notices each dawn, the ink bleeding through cheap parchment like the rot seeping through the trench walls. Names became numbers. Numbers became ash. The chaplain, once a pillar of cold conviction, now paced the firing steps at night, muttering psalms to the shadows. His robes hung loose, his cheeks hollow, as if the choristers' hymns were starving him from within. On the seventh day, Elias found him hunched over a corpse in the shrine of the martyrs, a recruit with a bayonet wound in his gut. The chaplain's hands shook as he pressed a cracked statuette of St. Michael to the boy's chest. "Why do you hesitate?" Elias said, watching blood pool around the saint's chipped wings. The chaplain didn't look up. "The rites, they're just words now. Words don't cleanse this." He gestured to the shrine's walls, once adorned with prayer candles and laurel wreaths, now defaced with heretic sigils scratched into the wood by trembling fingers. Elias left him there. That evening, the chaplain's sermon shattered the fragile silence. "The devil tests us," he shrieked, spittle flying as he clawed at his crucifix. A crowd had gathered, recruits mostly, their eyes glazed, their uniforms crusted with mud and worse. "But we shall not falter. The gates of hell shall not..." A fit of coughing doubled him over. When he straightened, his lips were smeared with blood. The recruits knelt anyway, their hands clasped in prayer. Only Petrus looked up, his eyes meeting Elias's. The boy's face was gaunt now, the welts on his neck pulsing faintly, like a second heartbeat. "They're coming, sir," he mouthed. The order came at dusk, delivered by a mud-spattered courier with eyes like shattered glass. Reconnaissance patrol, no man's land. Retrieve Corporal Harkin's body. Elias stared at the slip of paper, its edges singed as if pulled from a fire. The handwriting was precise, bureaucratic, devoid of empathy. Harkin had been dead 3 days, his corpse left tangled in the wire after the death commando's bullet sent him sprawling from the sniper's nest. Retrieval was suicide, every man knew it, but command wanted the trench cleared of distractions. Morale, they claimed, was a fragile thing. Sergeant Garin read the order over Elias's shoulder and snorted. They want his tags, or just another corpse to prop up in the shrine? Both, Elias said. He crumpled the paper. Assemble a squad. Volunteers only. Garin's laugh was a dry, rattling sound. Volunteers. Right. They went at midnight, when the chorister's hymns thinned to a whisper. 6 men. Elias, Garin, 3 veterans with faces like stone, and Private Petras. The boy had begged to join, his eyes fever bright, the welts on his neck now pulsing black veins. "I can hear them out there," he insisted. "I can guide you." Elias relented. Better the boy die useful than rot in the medic's pit. They slipped through a saphead, a narrow tunnel burrowed beneath the wire, and emerged into no man's land. The air here was colder, sharper, laced with the metallic tang of old blood. The ground crunched underfoot, a brittle crust of frozen mud and bone shards. "Stay low," Elias hissed, "and don't look at the lights." Petras opened his mouth to ask what lights, then froze. They flickered in the distance, will-o'-the-wisps, glowing faintly green, drifting between shell craters. Elias had seen them before. The men called them corpse candles, the souls of the unburied dead, or heretic traps. No one knew. Harkin's body lay 50 yards out, slumped against a rusted coil of barbed wire. His head lolled backward, throat exposed. The sniper's entry wound a neat black hole above his eyebrow. His skin had turned a waxy gray, and his hands were curled into claws, as if he'd tried to dig his way back to the trench. "God's teeth," Garin muttered. "They ate him." Elias saw it then, the gouges in Harkin's legs, the strips of flesh torn away. Not by rats, human teeth. "Wretched," Elias said. "The slave soldiers of Hell's legions, driven mad by hunger. Stay sharp, they're never far from..." A low, wet gurgle cut him off. To their left, a figure emerged from a crater. It was once a man, now a sagging horror, its skin sloughing off in sheets, its jaw unhinged like a snake's. It lurched toward them, a rusted bayonet clutched in bone fingers. Garin shot it twice in the chest. It collapsed, twitching, its blood pooling thick and tar-like in the mud. "Move," Elias ordered. They dragged Harkin's corpse by the ankles, the dead weight gouging tracks in the frozen earth. The corpse candles swarmed closer, their light casting long, distorted shadows. Petras whimpered, his hands clapped over his ears. "They're singing," he moaned. "Can't you hear it?" Elias heard nothing but the wind, or perhaps he'd simply learned to drown it out. A shrill scream tore through the night. One of the veterans, Kovac, a hulking Slav with a scarred lip, collapsed, clutching his leg. A jagged shrapnel blade, crusted with rust, jutted from his calf. A trap. "Heretic filth," Kovac snarled, yanking the blade free. "Poison too. Feel the burn already." Elias crouched to examine the wound. The flesh around it was blackening, tendrils of rot spreading upward. Hell-forged steel. Kovac wouldn't last the hour. "Fall back," Elias said. "Nonsense." Kovac staggered to his feet, his face pale. "I'll cover the retreat. Just get the boy out." Elias hesitated. Sentiment was a luxury the trenches didn't allow. Go! Kovac roared, hefting his rifle. They left him there, limping toward the corpse candles, singing a battle hymn in a language none of them understood. The trench ghosts found them at the wire. Elias saw them first, shambling silhouettes, their uniforms caked in mud, their gas masks fused to their faces by rust and decay. One clutched a bolt-action rifle with no stock. Another dragged a leg behind it, the bone protruding like a splintered steak. "Don't shoot," Elias whispered. "They're drawn to noise." But Petrus was beyond orders. The boy screamed, firing wildly into the dark. The bullet passed through a ghost's chest, as if through smoke, punching a hole in its ribcage that glowed faintly blue. The ghost tilted its head, then lunged. Garen intercepted it, his trench knife slashing. The blade met resistance, as if cutting through wet clay, and the ghost recoiled, a guttural hiss bubbling from its mask. The sound was wrong, too deep, too resonant, vibrating in Elias's molars. "Run," Garen barked. They ran, the ghost's footsteps echoing behind them, neither close nor distant, as if pacing them. Harkon's corpse slowed their retreat, catching on wire and rock, but Elias refused to abandon it. Morale is a fragile thing. The saphead entrance loomed ahead, a black moor in the trench wall. "Almost there," Elias shouted. Petra stumbled, his boots snagging on a root. He fell face first into the mud, and the darkness moved. A shadow detached itself from the night. A death commando. Elias glimpsed flickering light refracting around its form, as if it were wrapped in fractured glass. Its Tartarus claws gleamed dully, their edges serrated and wet. Petrus stared up, paralyzed, as the commando raised its blade. Elias fired. The bullet sparked off the commando's stealth generator, revealing a half-second glimpse of a faceless helm and a torso plated in blackened bone. Then it was gone. Petrus scrambled to his feet, sobbing. "The thank you, sir, I..." "Move," Elias growled. They sealed the saphead behind them, piling sandbags and ration crates against the tunnel mouth. Garen slumped against the wall, his knife hand trembling violently. "Saw one of those ghosts up close," he muttered. "Had a new Antioch insignia on its arm. From the 45 siege, maybe. Been dead decades, still fighting." "Rest," Elias said. "Dawn's in 3 hours." "Dawn." Garen laughed bitterly. "What's the difference?" In the Shrine of the Martyrs, the chaplain waited. He stood over Harkon's body, now laid out on a stretcher, and recited the last rites. His voice cracked as he anointed the corpse's forehead with oil. Elias watched, silent, as the chaplain's hands began to shake. The ritual faltered. "Father," Elias said. The chaplain spun, his eyes wild. "Do you think it matters? These pantomimes." He gestured to the shrine's statuettes, their faces worn smooth by desperate hands. "We dress up horror in ritual, but he does not answer." Elias stepped closer, his voice low. "Careful, father. The men might hear." The chaplain seized Elias's tunic, his breath reeking of sacramental wine. "Their right to doubt. We send children to die in the mud for a god who abandoned us. This is not a crusade. It's a mass grave." Elias pried the man's hands free. "Then dig your own if you've lost the stomach. But do it quietly." An emergency briefing was called at dawn. Elias stood in the command dugout, flanked by officers whose names he'd forgotten, and stared at the map pinned to the wall. Red pins clustered along the sepulchre's eastern flank. "Satellite trenches report movement," said Major Voss, a bloated man with a monocle and a walrus moustache. "Heretic forces amassing here and here. Expect an assault within 48 hours. "Ammunition?" Elias asked. "Half rations. Prioritize machine guns." Reinforcements? Voss's silence was answer enough. Elias found Petrus in the medic's ward, curled on a cot, his wrists bound to prevent him from scratching the welts. They had spread to his face now, the black veins pulsing in time to a hymn only he could hear. "It's in my teeth," the boy whispered. "The song. It's chewing." Elias placed a hand on Petrus's shoulder. The flesh was cold, unnaturally so. "Rest. The assault will come soon." Petrus's eyes met his, clear for the first time. "You don't believe we'll win?" Elias said nothing. "I'm glad," Petrus said. "I don't want to die for a lie." The bombardment began at twilight. Not the sporadic shelling of before, but a thunderous cascade that turned the sky into a sieve. Elias stood in the command dugout, the map trembling on the wall as the earth bucked beneath him. Dust rained from the ceiling, gritty and thick, coating his tongue with the taste of burnt soil and iron. "Sector 4's gone," Garen shouted over the din, his face streaked with soot. "Direct hit from a hellbore, 50 men buried." Elias nodded. The Major's 48 hours had been a fantasy. The heretics moved on hell's time. "Pull back to the secondary line," Elias ordered. "Tell the machine gunners to hold the crossroads. If they flank us..." A deafening crack split the air. The dugout's support beam splintered, and the ceiling collapsed in a roar of dirt and splinters. Elias was thrown against the wall, his head ringing, his mouth filled with the coppery tang of blood. When the dust cleared, Garen was gone, crushed beneath a mound of debris, only his hand visible, fingers curled like a spider's legs. Elias clawed his way outside. The trench was hell unchained. Men sprinted through choking smoke, some missing limbs, others ablaze, their screams harmonizing with the chorister's hymn, now swelling to a deafening crescendo. The sky burned, lit by streaks of infernal artillery, gouts of green fire that clung to flesh and stone alike. Somewhere in the chaos, a recruit gibbered as he clawed out his own eyes, his ears leaking brain matter onto his collar. Petrus. Elias found the boy at the Shrine of the Martyrs, kneeling before the statuettes. His skin had turned necrotic, resembling worn leather. The black veins had burst, revealing glistening muscle and bone beneath. He turned to Elias, his jaw unhinging with a wet pop. "They're here," Petrus rasped, his voice no longer his own. It was a chorus, layered and dissonant. "They've always been here." Elias raised his pistol. The boy smiled. "You see it now, don't you?" He pulled the trigger. Petrus's body collapsed, but the hymn didn't stop. It poured from his corpse, a physical force that sent Elias staggering. The air rippled and the shadows twisted. The heretics had arrived. The wretched came in a shambling tide, their emaciated bodies clad in rags and salvaged armor, their weapons rusted, their faces melted by hell's fumes. The machine guns tore into them, but they did not stop. They could not stop. Behind them, heretic taskmasters crackled electric whips, herding the wretched forward like cattle. Elias rallied the survivors at the crossroads. "Aim for the taskmasters. Cut the head. The body dies." A sniper's bullet punched through a taskmaster's horned helm. The wretched behind him faltered, milling in confusion, until a fresh whip crack sent them surging again. "They're endless," a corporal screamed. "Then we endure," Elias roared, though the words tasted like ash. The wretched broke against the trenches like waves on stone. Then the earth shuddered, and the anointed came, covered in massive armor, blackened steel fused to their flesh, their faces hidden behind visors, shaped like leering devils. Each carried a warhammer the size of a man, its head glowing with the captured fire of the lake of flame. Where they stepped, the ground smoldered. "Anti-tank hammers," Elias shouted. "Now!" A team of sappers rushed forward, their hammers crackling with unstable alchemical charges. The first anointed swung its weapon, bisecting a sapper diagonally from shoulder to hip. The man's torso slid into the mud, still twitching. The second sapper lunged, driving his hammer into the anointed's chest. The explosion vaporized both men and tore a crater in the trench line. Elias fired into the smoke, his bullets pinging harmlessly off the Gehenna plate. An anointed emerged, its armor scorched but intact, and backhanded him into a sandbag wall. His ribs snapped, the pain white hot, but he forced himself upright. "Fall back," he choked, "to the inner trench." The choristers came last, as they always did. Elias saw them atop a ridge, their severed heads held aloft on pikes, their mouths gaping in silent song. The hymn struck like a physical blow. Men clutched their ears, blood streaming between their fingers as visions of hell flooded their minds. Eternal fire, writhing bodies, the grinning faces of devils. A soldier near Elias jammed his bayonet into his own throat. Another pressed a grenade to his chest and pulled the pin. The chorister's song slithered into the skull like a serrated lullaby. Elias stumbled, his vision blurring, the trench dissolving into a charnel landscape. He saw New Antioch burning, its walls cracked open like an egg, its streets choked with headless corpses. He saw himself kneeling before a faceless god, his hands drenched in blood that would never wash clean. Then, a miracle. The trench ghosts rose from the earth. They materialized between the living and the heretics, their semi-corporeal forms flickering like candle flames. Some wore New Antioch colors, others heretic rags, but all shared the same smoldering eyes. The ghosts turned on the choristers, their rusted rifles firing spectral rounds that tore through the unholy singers. Chorister heads burst like overripe melons, their hymns dying in gurgles. The anointed hesitated, confused by this betrayal of hell's hierarchy. Elias seized the moment. "Push forward, for the martyrs, for New Antioch." The survivors charged, a ragged chorus of bayonets and curses. The ghosts fought beside them, silent and relentless, their bullets passing through heretic flesh but killing all the same. An anointed fell, its armor shattered by a ghost's grenade. A death commando flickered into visibility, its stealth generator failing, as a dozen spectral hands dragged it into the mud. For a heartbeat, Elias dared to hope. As the smoke-filtered sunlight began to show, the ghosts vanished. The heretics retreated, but the trench was no longer a trench. It was a mass grave, its walls collapsed, its defenders reduced to red pulp and shattered bone. Elias limped through the ruins, counting the living. 20 men, out of 300. He found the chaplain impaled on a length of rebar, his crucifix still clutched in his hand. Nearby, a recruit cradled his eviscerated stomach, whispering the litany of deliverance through bloody lips. Elias knelt beside him, pressing a hand to the boy's forehead. "Is it over?" the recruit gasped. "Yes," Elias lied. The boy died smiling. Elias climbed the firing step one last time, his broken ribs grinding with every step. The smoke had cleared, revealing a sky streaked with dawn's first light. It was beautiful, in a way he'd forgotten. Then he saw them. On the horizon, the heretic legions regrouped, columns of anointed, fresh choristers, and siege engines forged from screaming metal. Behind them, deeper in the haze, something vast shifted. A silhouette with too many limbs, a crown of horns scraping the clouds. Elias's laugh was a hollow thing. He reloaded his rifle, his movements mechanical, and pressed the barrel to his temple, but the shot never came. Somewhere below, a survivor began to sing, a hymn of mourning, of defiance, of foolish, desperate hope. That was The Weight of the Cross, an original Trench Crusade short story written by me. I sincerely hope you enjoyed both the story and the narration. This is quite different from my regular content, but I really enjoyed the creative challenge. I was inspired by a commenter on my previous video, so a special thank you goes out to them. If you'd like to support my content, you can do so via my Ko-fi page, linked in the description, either by making a small monthly pledge or a one-time donation. Simply engaging with this video or subscribing to my free newsletter is also appreciated greatly. As always, thank you for listening, and I wish you a good day or a good night.